Did I hear you right, Brother Michelle? Yes, you heard me right. Mind your own business. Over the many centuries that the Almighty God has been dealing with men and women, and that we are thinking of the time from our foreparents were driven from the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve. Throughout this time, when God dealt and is dealing with man, there has been a primary, while their man has faced many problems with God because of man's ignorance, disobedience, sinfulness. But one of the problem or tragedy for us is that man has often been carried away and forget his business. That is, man often forget why he is here, why he was placed here. And not only we forget and get carried away, we often get involved in God's business. I don't know if you notice. I think Chad read St. John chapter 21 from verse 21 through 23. That's the passage you read, Chad. Let us hear it again.
Peter seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee?
Have you noticed what I noticed? It's like Jesus Christ was saying, mind your own business. That's right. When Peter referred to John, the beloved, the same person who wrote the book of St. John, there was a special relationship between John, one of the apostles, and Jesus Christ. John usually raises his head at Jesus' shoulder when they sit. Luckily, it was not this time, because wrong conclusion would have been drawn. It was just an affectionate relationship between Jesus Christ and John, that when they sit, John usually rests his head at Jesus' shoulder. So Peter asks a question that relates to John, because before that, there was something about the man who would betray Christ. And it seems, I said, as if Peter thought that John would be the person. So read again quick, brother.
Peter seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him,
Wait, what shall this man do? What going to happen to this man? That question has direct reference to John, the beloved. Remember, he's the same person who wrote St. John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and Revelation. The same person who is writing the story or the lesson.
Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till
I come. If I want him to tarry, Peter.
What is that to thee?
Is that your business? Turn it around. Jesus Christ is saying, mind your own business. In fact, there are so many places in the Bible, Old and New Testament, where the Almighty God had to call upon humanity to mind their own business. Really? God has always had to remind or punish man for leaving the business God placed in our hands and tending to some business that God didn't place in our hands. God has always had to take steps to bring man back to what our purpose, our business ought to be. The passage read from St. John is just one of the many passages. When I was growing up, my parents and foreparents have a saying, if you come to drink milk and not count cow, just enjoy the milk. Don't worry, count how many cows. Well, in effect, Jesus' response to Peter here is saying the same thing. Much of our sins, yes, much of our danger, I mean you and me, comes from misdirected, misplaced interests and activities in things which are not our business. That's a fact. Both as it relates to human being and as it relates to the Almighty God and our responsibility. When the Almighty God gave Moses Deuteronomy 29:29, it was on that very point. When the Almighty God gave 1 Samuel chapter 13:8, and then 9, 10 through 11, it was on that very point. Let us hear these passages. Deuteronomy 29, 29 is a passage well known to most of us. Let us hear it.
The secret things belong unto the Lord our God.
The secret things belongeth unto the Lord our God.
But those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever.
Yeah, yeah. There are some things that God doesn't reveal. Are we all there? There are a lot of things. I hope with the mercy and help of God, I will live and live close to God, that one day I will be in the company of those who can answer some of the questions that God chose not to reveal in the Bible. The brothers just read it. The secret things belong to whom?
Unto God.
To the Almighty God. So God knows that there are some things, in fact, had God revealed them, we couldn't manage them. That's right. In his wisdom, God withholds something. But the things that are revealed, God wants us to know them. But you know the problem? Many of us don't have time for the Bible. They are revealed for our wisdom and enlightenment and direction. But many of us, we are too tied up, we are too busy, we are too preoccupied with secular, monetary, worldly things. So we go through life in ignorance when the Almighty God has placed wisdom and knowledge and enlightenment in his revelation. But be mindful that God acknowledged in the passage just read, found in the book of Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret thing belongeth unto the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed belong to man. Look at Samuel chapter 13, verse 8.
And he tarried 7 days, according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him.
The people, Saul was the king. The people were separated because the time of the sacrifice was almost there. And Samuel had not returned. Samuel is the one who must offer the sacrifice. Step down to verse 10, brother, 10 and 11.
And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering.
May I? That's the way life works sometimes, you know. Samuel had given instruction to King Saul that the battle, I think it was with the Philistine, must not get started. That's war. The existence of the Israelites were threatened. It means that man's salvation through Jesus Christ was also threatened if the Philistine had the chance to wipe out the Israelites. Samuel told Saul, wait until I come before you set the battle in array. But I imagine it was purposely done, most likely by the Almighty God, to test Saul's faith and obedience. Do you know a lot of time your faith and my faith and obedience are being tested? You are sick, you go to 3-4 doctors and the ailment is still there, the medication doesn't help. And Satan reminds you of a 4-eyed doctor. Of course, that person would have too many eyes in the first place. Somebody or something remind you that there is an obia man or an obia woman somewhere. A lot of time, that becomes your test. You give up on God too quick. There are a lot of decisions we make in life. Are you all there? That we make them in haste. We rush and left God. God wants to direct you and help you. But you can't wait on God. And then you take up more trouble than you can manage. Saul told him to wait. And Saul delayed. Almost at the brink of the time, Saul appeared. By this time, Samuel appeared. By this time, Saul had already offered the sacrifice. Wait. Brother Mitchell, what are you preaching on? Mind your own business. Well, this was not Saul's business to offer the sacrifice. It was Samuel's business. God had put that business in Samuel's hand. Did I tell you to step to verse 12 through verse
10?
Verse 10 through verse 11. Read.
And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him, that he might salute him.
You must get this. You must get this. Wasn't it Thursday we did the radio program? When Dave, myself, and Brother Webb were pointing out, we were discussing God's judicial hardening. Say that again, Brother Mitchell. God's judicial hardening. When the Almighty God takes a judiciary role in hardening man. That can happen to us, you know. We're some things that you never dreamt God would do, God does it. And what came out on that radio program, believe it's coming up Wednesday coming, is the fact that when the Almighty God takes step to harden man's heart, against your own interests, hardly do those people know that God is working against them. But God does that only when you have shown unfaithfulness, defiance, non-respect for the guidance that God gives you, non-appreciation. When the Almighty God shows grace and mercy in your path and you keep turning your back against it and showing disregard, then it is usually in those situations that God's judiciary hardening takes place. I should have a few lessons on that because it's not something that we have spoken about many times here over the past many years. But the point why I brought that up is the fact people never know, like the Bible talks about that God will send them strong what? Strong delusion. When the Almighty God sends religious men and women like you and me, strong delusion, we hardly ever recognize that it is as a result of our showing scant regard or no regard for the grace and mercy and light that God has been sending us. When we keep showing no appreciation or very little appreciation, the Bible tells us that God will send judiciary hardening on us. That we cease to appreciate the value of spiritual things. And this is what we have here. You're at your own verse 11.
And someone said, "What hast thou done?"
What hast thou done?
And Saul said, "Because I saw that the people were scattered from me."
Please excuse now. Just, you see, it's not humanity. Because Saul's explanation is the same explanation that probably I would give. What have you done? That means, man, didn't I tell you to wait until I come? You take it upon yourself to offer that sacrifice? That's not your business. You should not have interfered with the sacrifice. Read, John.
Because I saw that the people were scattered from me. And that thou camest not within the days appointed.
And you did not come within the days appointed.
And
that's not very correct, you know. Even though he comes out almost at the end of it. You know. Read on.
And that the Philistines gathered themselves.
And you see, Saul, from where he and his army stood, they could look over and see the army of the Philistines. And you can imagine the trembling. May the Almighty God give us courage and trust in whatever crises we face as Christians. Because those are the situations under which you and I need faith and trust in God. Man's extremity is God's opportunity. It is when God, when we reach the edge and feel that we are going to tumble over, that's the time that God usually comes and says, no, I will not permit you to tumble over. So always remember, don't let Satan bring you to the brink and then you give up on the Almighty God. That's what Saul did. He saw the army of the Philistines, and they were plentiful. And he got covered. And then the Israelites were leaving him. Read now, brother.
And that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash. End of verse 11.
Step down, I think, to verse 12. I think I need verse 12 too.
Therefore,
read verse 13.
Therefore said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal.
Wait. You saw, you know, still defending himself. Ladies and gentlemen, among the things you need to get from things like this is that our excuse will not stand in God's sight. We must always remember that. Read on, brother.
And I have not made supplication unto the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
I forced myself therefore.
You see, the Philistine would come upon us, and I recognize, Samuel, that we need to offer the sacrifice to God before we start the battle. So I force, you all hear that? I force myself to offer the sacrifice. Read, brother.
And Samuel said to Saul, thou hast done foolishly.
Yeah.
Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would
Listen this. For now
would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever.
I wonder if you get the implication of that. These days, from Old to New Testament, the person we read of that God tied to man's salvation and the Savior is David. David. It was this faithless mistake or step taken by Saul. And here Samuel is explaining that the Almighty God would have established your kingdom forever. That is referring to the part that David is going to pick up now and play throughout. It would have been Saul had he remained faithful to God's word. What you're preaching on, Brother Mitchell, mind your own business. Saul didn't mind his own business. His business as the king and as the leader in the battle is to wait until the appropriate person, the person God appoint to offer the sacrifice, wait until he comes. Wait until he offered the sacrifice. That's what God wants. But when he saw the army of the enemy, he got nervous. A lot of time we get nervous too quick. We give up on God too easily. And therefore we never learn to trust God and to see what God can. Did you read verse 14?
But now thy kingdom shall not continue.
You hear that? This, it's a decision God make right here. That's how come Saul is not that person whose name you hear right through. Jesus Christ is referred to as the Son of David. Biologically, Jesus Christ biological lineage came from David. It would have been Saul. You see, a lot of times you and I look on and we say, nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong from whose perspective? Yours are God. Ladies and gentlemen, let me move on now, please. We have another incident like that in the book of First Chronicles. Let me skip that one, brother, because we need to move on to some other thing. Look at Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, verse 6 through verse 7. Remember, mind your own business. That is, take interest in the responsibility which God places in your hand. Leave God to do his own thing. Read, brother.
When they, therefore, were come together, they asked of him.
They, that is, the apostles, asked of Jesus Christ.
Saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them,
listen, Jesus Christ,
it is not for you to know.
Brother Chad, you know what that means? They ask a question, getting into God's business. When it says, it's not for you to know, it means that's not your business. That's right. In fact, read the rest of it.
It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power.
Now, in other words, when the time comes, God will get the kingdom started. Now, you just go about what I give you to do and be diligent about it, but leave God to do his thing, because God can do what he set out to do. Yes, that simple statement, it is not for you to know. It really means mind your own business. You attend to that which God gives you to do. Look at Acts of the Apostles, chapter 8, verse 21.
Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter.
That's another case. I tell you, it's scattered all over the Bible. We can just spend the whole whatever time looking. This is another case of a person who wants to participate in something that is not his business. Wait. Are you here today? Don't move from the passage, brother. You're not a member of the Lord's church. This piece of preaching that I'm about to give you is important for you, as it is for a member of the church. Get this, it's not every function of the Holy Spirit was meant for every Christian. That's one way of putting it. All the abilities that the Holy Spirit, miraculous ability that the Holy Spirit gives to people, it doesn't mean that miraculous ability belongs to everyone. And you must be careful how you permit men and women to mislead you. The passage in Matthew chapter 8, verse 21 is a good example. Read that again quick, brother.
Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter.
Now step up now to verse about 19 or 20.
And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given.
Watch here. Simon is a new convert. Is a man who had just become Christian food a few days or a few weeks ago or a few months, whatever the case. But he's a new convert. What Simon saw that the apostles of Jesus Christ, wait, there were only 10 and 2, 12 apostles of Christ. The apostles were special people. For example, an apostle of Jesus Christ had to be eyewitnesses of Christ's resurrection. What does that mean, Brother Mitchell, eyewitness? Apostles of Jesus Christ had to be one who saw Jesus Christ with his biological eyes after Jesus Christ was resurrected. Learn that. Let me repeat it. A lot of time we preach these things and we just pass over them. For one to be an apostle of Christ, not just apostle, because the word apostle means one specially sent, but an apostle of Jesus Christ had to be an eyewitness of Jesus' resurrection. Meaning, Brother Mitchell, that person must have seen Jesus Christ with his biological eyes after Christ was resurrected. There are certain abilities that the Holy Spirit gave to those people, and only those people. Let me just throw this up. When Paul was showing that he's an apostle of Christ, having seen Jesus Christ after Jesus Christ was resurrected, was one of the things that Paul threw to the Corinthians. Then, Brother Mitchell, what about the people today who claim that they're apostle of Christ? They are fraud. They are false. They are ignorant. Most of them don't even realize, they do not spend time with God's book to understand that for any man or woman to be an apostle of Christ, you have to have witnessed Christ with your biological eyes after he was crucified. So one of these apostles, Peter, could lay his hand on a person and pass on supernatural spiritual gift. This is what Simon the sorcerer saw. Didn't I say Simon was recently converted? Yes. But before he was converted, he was an obeah man, fooling up people and taking away their money. But thanks be to God, the gospel of Jesus Christ is powerful to reach into the heart of any man or woman who will listen to God's word. He became a Christian, but lot of that love for money and power and influence, it was still in him. He needed to spend more time in the church and to go worship and learn. And little by little, the Almighty God, through the teaching of his word, would get rid of that. He wasn't in the church long enough. So when he saw Peter lay hand and pass on supernatural power, what he said there in verse 21.
Thou hast neither...
No, step up. Yeah. And when Simon saw
that through laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money.
You hear that? He offered them money. He was far away, not realizing you can't ever buy God's gift with money. Do you know that today men and women see so much power in money? When the Bible said the love of money is the root of all evil, as Christians, let us never forget that money was meant to be a blessing because it can give us the ability to purchase and get the things we need or want. But ladies and gentlemen, never forget what God's word says, that the love of it is the root of all evil. One preacher, which I share with you so many times, point out that money and marriage going to take more people to hell than anything else. That's why the prophet Malachi asked, will a man rob God? People were robbing God then in the time of Malachi, and God's people are still doing it today, not realizing the danger that they face. I will pay you to give me that gift of the Holy Spirit. What Peter said?
Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter.
This is not your business. You see, we come right back to the lesson. This is not your business, Simon. And that was right. Ordinary Christian did not receive the power that Peter had. Peter was an inspired apostle. Ordinary Christians are not inspired. They are not eyewitnesses of Jesus' resurrection. May I mind your own business? There's so much, but time has gone. Take, for example, the thief on the cross. Are you one of our honored guests? We are glad to have you. But if you're one of those men or women who felt that you can't be saved like the thief on the cross, you will wait until thy kingdom come. That will never happen. It was Jesus' business. I want you to get this and get it clear. In the meantime, one of you brothers, turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 9 and hold it. But get this now. Members and visitors. It was Jesus Christ's business to save the thief on the cross the way that he was saved. That was Christ's business. Are we all there? You and I, or any other man or woman, cannot be saved like the thief on the cross. No other man or woman can or will ever be saved like the thief on the cross. In fact, I need to, you know, I reach only about one third of this lesson and it's almost time for me to finish. You know, anyway, I'm getting down to the finishing. What did I say? I said, not you or any other man or woman will never be saved like the thief on the cross. Never. You can't. The Almighty God does not act haphazardly. He's a God of order. To the extent, ladies and gentlemen, our beloved visitors and members who may not understand. So much so that in the passage of 1 Corinthians 14, where the Apostle Paul, being directed by the Holy Spirit, was talking about worship. Watch here. He said, let all things be done decently and in order. Why, Brother Mitchell? Because God is a God of order. So God does not do things haphazardly. Did you know that the Almighty God has one way to save all of us sins? Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. The Almighty God doesn't have a way that you get saved in that church, and you get saved a different way in this church, and you get saved a different way. God doesn't have anything like that. Is contrary to the very nature of the Almighty God. To the extent that the Apostle Paul in the book of Philippians point out that all of us must walk by the same rule. So let me repeat, God will never save another man or woman the way the thief on the cross was saved. Watch here, watch here, watch here, watch here, watch here, watch here. God sends them, watch here. The thief on the cross live under the Old Testament administration. That's a fact. Where animal sacrifice and incense and the priests and all of that God gave Moses. That's the Old Testament. Watch here, ladies and gentlemen. Now, this system came to its end at Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. All the practice you see under the Old Testament system, it was meant to last just up until Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Now, over here now, beginning with Christ's death, burial, and resurrection is what we call the gospel. The gospel. That is the New Testament Christianity. That begins at Christ's resurrection, 32 AD, when the Church of Christ got started. Acts of the Apostle chapter 2 tell you when the church got started. So men and women after Christ's resurrection and the church got started, you have to listen to the gospel. I think this will be the last passage. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 15 through 17.
And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament.
Wait. The he there is Jesus Christ. He is the mediator of the what?
The New Testament.
Wait, Chad, you know. In fact, most of the people here know that there is an Old Testament and a New Testament. That's right. Watch here. Both of them cannot reign together. That's right. You cannot have the New Testament coming in force while the Old Testament is in force. But you see, Jesus Christ had already nailed the Old Testament to the cross. The Bible tells us that. Read that again, Chad.
And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament.
Christ is the mediator of the New Testament. He's the one who brought the New Testament system that bring here, repent, and baptize into existence. Read on.
That by means of death. For the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament.
Lord, Chad, you want the sermon to last another 30 minutes instead of 2 or 3 minutes? No, I won't let it last. But some great preaching, you know. Listen to that statement again. That by means of death.
For the redemption of the transgressions.
Wait, Chad, watch here now. For the redemption, for the redeeming of the transgression that was?
Under the first testament.
You all got that? That when Jesus Christ died, the sin that God put on hold under the Old Testament system, they were never forgiven. Those faithful men and women of God under the Old Testament, because there was nothing to forgive or cleanse their sin. Without the shedding of blood, There is no remission of sin. Add to that, it is impossible that the blood of bulls and of goats should remove sin. So all these faithful characters, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, David, name them under the Old Testament system, their sin were just put on hold. They had to wait until Jesus Christ came. What the brothers just read there, read it again. Somebody didn't hear it, brother.
That by means of death. For the redemption of the transgressions.
No, Chad. It's going to tell you what transgression it is talk about.
That were under the First Testament.
What transgression?
That were under the First Testament.
What transgression?
That were under the First Testament.
But Jesus Christ died here, so. Where were those transgressions? The Almighty God overlooked or put them aside. There was nothing to have dealt with their sin. Read on a little more now.
They which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance.
You see, they did not receive the real forgiveness until, read a little quick more.
For where a testament is.
Wherever a will is. Word testament, like a will. Wherever a will is.
There must also be of necessity the death of the testator.
You know, the Bible is also legally right. That's right. Just like now, when you or I make a will, that will will never become effective until after you die. The Bible is saying the same way with Jesus Christ's New Testament will. For where a testament is,
there must also of necessity be the death of the testator.
You all here? That's when Jesus Christ's will came into existence. After Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, the thief on the cross could never have been taught to repent, confess Christ, and get baptized. That was not preached until Pentecost. And that is what Jesus Christ wants preached until the end of the world. God's plan of salvation to save men that came into force after Jesus was resurrected. If you or I are going to be saved, we will have to be saved by the gospel. The thief died between two testaments. The thief died when the Old Testament was on its way out, and the New Testament was not yet here. That's why you can never be saved. In fact, you'd have to get Jesus Christ crucified and you'd have to put him on a cross. That will never happen. And if you ever like to talk to us, sit down with one or two of us and talk to us on you becoming a Christian the Bible's way. Speak to one of us after we are dismissed. Or take the number down. We'll be glad to sit with you and show you with God's word how to become a Christian the Bible's way. But this morning, if you have learned enough and understand enough that only through Jesus Christ and what the gospel teaches, by you becoming obedient to it, can you be saved? In a few seconds or minutes, when we stand to sing a song to the glory and honor of Jesus' name, you can step forward to give your life to Jesus Christ. We will sit down with you and talk with you further. But remember, mind your own business. What is that, Brother Mitchell? To understand God's will and to submit yourself to it. That's your business. Lot of other things You want to know where God, where Adam got his wife? Mind your own business. God, many people, they get so hung up on where Adam. If God wanted you to know where Adam got his wife, he would have revealed all the detail. You see, right now, your important business is, what must I do to be saved? Christ has an answer in the gospel for you. So as we stand and sing, Jesus Christ calls you.